Dear congregation, some common thoughts about Christmas Day. It came so fast. I couldn't wait for it to get here. You know that was a child. Glad it will soon be over. Ah, humbug. Good to have the family together. Boy, is it good to see the family go home. This is our first Christmas with the new baby. First Christmas with a new son-in-law, a daughter-in-law. First Christmas without Dad, without Grandpa, without someone we love. Christmas evokes many emotions in our hearts. And then there's the debates. Should we say Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays? What is or isn't acceptable in the public square? It's becoming more and more controversial in our ever-increasing secular world. And then the business side. Christmas is way too commercial. I really enjoy Christmas. You get some good deals. And boy, those after Christmas sales, they are really good. I'm not standing in line for anything. Oh, I shop online. I don't stand in line either. I love all the music programs, extra services, and especially the Christmas Eve, Christmas Day services. I love the carols. But when they start playing them already before Thanksgiving, I hate to admit this, but by Christmas, I'm sick of them. Oh, I don't know if I should say that. In the middle of all of this, I'm reminded, don't forget the reason for the season. Oh, one more thing to do. Now I got to remember that yet also. So many demands. How does one hang on to the Christmas spirit, whatever that is? And how does it work? And seriously, how can the birth of a baby boy so long ago make any difference in my world today? I mean, let's get serious. There's lots of babies born every day. Governments are still taking census. People still have barns and cattle and stables, and there's still shepherds, and we still have wise people and some not so wise, and all are saying a lot of stuff. So what's the big deal about this story? I wonder, have any of you ever had these thoughts? And I'll be honest, I have. When the Advent season, that's the four Sundays before Christmas rolls around, I wonder, will the story be meaningful again this year? I've heard it 70 plus years now. It's the same story. Is it going to have meaning again? Or is it like, oh yeah, I know that. I've heard it so often. I know how it goes. And as a pastor, I have the question, okay, what do I say in the message? I mean, everybody, at least most people, know the stories. What am I going to put out as an inspiring Christmas message? Or in the Advent Sundays leading up? And I pray, God, don't let me get bored. Don't let me get complacent with the mystery, the blessings, and the significance of Christmas. And then I thank God every year because Christ's birth does bring its own enthusiasm. It brings its own passion. It brings its own excitement. And this year, in anticipating his birth and preparing for today, it was the Matthew message that really spoke to me. Matthew 1, 18 to 25, we preached on it yesterday, Emmanuel, God with us. We're going to preach on it again this morning. And with the candle lighting, we got the Luke 2 story. So you got both of the common stories for Christ's birth. It's a powerful story. Matter of fact, I think we should read it. Let's turn to it right now. Matthew chapter 1, page 1374 in your pew Bible. 1374. It's Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18. Hear the word of God. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of our God remains forever true. What we just read, it's the good news. And what makes it the good news is the significance of the main person and what his mission is. And verse 21 pulls it all together. If you don't remember anything from this message except verse 21, that's all you need to know. She will give birth to a son. You'll give him the name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. That's it. That's it. That's the good news. We need good news. Deep down, we all know we are needy, we are messed up, and we're sinners. We're guilty. Every one of us has done something wrong. If you don't believe me, just read the Ten Commandments and see if you've upheld them all perfectly. We all deal with misery, with sadness, and death. As a society, we don't like to go there. As a community, we don't like to go there. As individuals, we don't like to go there. But in the moments of honesty, the entertainment world knows that our world is a mess. The politicians know. The talking heads know. The academic elites know. The armed forces know. The world leaders know. The common people know. And you and I know. This world is not in good shape. Now, people respond in different ways. Some deny it. Some despair over it. Some laugh at it. Some profit from it. And some use other forms of escape. Some people try to drown it, medicate it. Some work harder. Some collect more stuff. Some build bigger barns. Some go for counseling. And others dabble in religion. But on the threshold of a new year, if you take a little inventory of your past year, there was lots of hardship in 2023. But listen again to the good news. She'll give birth to a son. You'll give him the name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. Every mess that we are part of, every heartache, every pain we deal with, all the sadness, all the sorrow we struggle with can be related back to one thing. Not a popular word, not a popular topic, not one that often comes up in polite conversation: sin. But that's the reality of it. And in the middle of the word sin is the letter I. It's all about sin. It affects all of us, every area of our lives, and within each one of us, there is a thirst we cannot quench, a hunger we can't satisfy, a pain that will not go away, a loneliness we cannot fill, a fear we can't escape from. The void in our souls cry out, there has to be more to life than this. There has to be more to life than this. Maybe you have asked, why do I feel empty, unfulfilled, restless, dealing with discontent? Maybe I've been caught up in the rat race, and I thought that this next thing was going to satisfy, whatever it was. But somehow it didn't deliver. All of us have tried to find things and found they didn't satisfy. Maybe temporarily, but not long term. And we end up with the question, why do I have this feeling of meaninglessness? And the answer is, listen to the good news as we hear that in Matthew. She'll give birth to a son. His name is Jesus, and he will forgive his people of their sins. There's the answer. No matter where you look for any other answer, it will not satisfy. It cannot satisfy. It's impossible for it to satisfy you. The answer is in the name and the person of the one who saves us, the one whose birth we're celebrating, the one who came to save us from our sins. Which sins? Here's the good news. All of them. All of them. Is that good news or what? I know we're not Pentecostal, but I think at times we should be shouting and dancing and saying, whoa, this is good news. This is amazing. All of them? There isn't anything I've done that he won't forgive? And say, yeah. There is nothing, nothing you have done, no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you have done, whatever it is, that's exactly, whatever it is, the worst thing in your mind, the stuff you would never want on the headline news, on the front of the paper, on an NBC. Jesus says, got you covered. Got you covered. That's why I came. Christmas, the birth of Jesus, is the only hope for our broken world. We can look lots of places. We're not going to find solutions. Jesus is the only hope. Don't forget, Jesus didn't come to earth because things were going so well. It wasn't like he was sitting in heaven saying to the Father, you know, it's not too busy around here right now. Why don't I take a trip to earth? That would look like a nice place to take a little vacation. There's a lot of nice people down there. I'll get to know them a little better, and we'll have a really good time. I'll be back in a couple years. It wasn't like that. He looked to earth and said, it's a mess. It's a horrible mess, and those people cannot save themselves. They cannot rescue themselves. Matter of fact, there's no one that can rescue them except me. And he was willing to come. He came because this world was in a real mess 2,000 years ago, and Solomon already told us that there's nothing new under the sun, and it's a mess today, all because of sin. See, we can never get away from that three-letter word, sin. And sin affects us as individuals. It affects us as family. If you have problems in your family, it's because of sin. Any problems that you have in your life is because there's sin in the world. So it affects us as a family, community, as a nation. Sin keeps us in bondage. It keeps us trapped. It steals our joy. It robs us of contentment, destroys our homes, wrecks our peace, ruins our relationships with God and with each other. And in the end, it kills us. That's the reality. That's the state we were in. But remember the good news? She'll give birth to a son. You'll give him the name Jesus, and he'll save his people from their sins. And he came to forgive all of our sins. That's the good news. Believing this will make it a Merry Christmas for you. Because then the Mary and Christmas isn't based on circumstances or events in your life. The Merry Christmas is that there's a song in your heart because you have a rescuer. You have a redeemer. You have someone who has come to save you. Lots of things in this life to enjoy. Not disputing that in any way. But nothing else. Not the gifts, not the family gatherings, not the programs, the services, the time off, the eating, the drinking, can fill the emptiness in your heart. Only this gift, only Jesus, can make the difference. Jesus, who came to forgive us all of our sins and set us free. Listen again. She'll give birth to a son. You'll give him the name Jesus, and he'll forgive his people of their sins. That's the good news. That's why we can celebrate this every year again, and why the story never grows old. Why it is always relevant. Why it always speaks to us. Why it always gives us encouragement and it gives us hope. This is the only hope we have. And that is why the angel could pronounce in Luke 2, verses 10 and 11, the same message worded just a little bit different. The angel says, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news. Good news of great joy for all people." Do you realize when that was said 2,000 years ago, God already looked down the corridor of time and he saw you. And he said, "Good news for all people." Today in the town of David, what? In the town of David, a Savior will be born, and his name is Christ the Lord. Same message as in Matthew. Christ the Lord is Jesus who saves us from our sins. There's absolutely no better news or greater joy. Have a Merry Christmas because of him. Father, we come to you. We thank you for this event that was so defining. It changed everything in this world. It happened 2,000 years ago, and everything has been impacted by that. We're so thankful. We're so thankful that you came, and that in this wonderful story, what we call the story, the plan of salvation, you have allowed us to be part of it because you know us by name, and you, just like with Adam, you came looking for us, and you said, "Hey, where are you? Come. Come to me." And then you promise whoever comes, you will not cast out. So, Father, we praise you. We worship you. There's nothing else we can do but lift up your name and give you all the glory for what Paul calls the unspeakable gift, even Jesus. We do all things in his name, including this prayer. Amen.